Jazz 91.9 FM WCLK. From Atlanta's Jazz Station, music coming from Miles Davis. That's from the Dingo movie soundtrack and one called Club Entrance on 91.9 FM Club Entrance. I'm Reva Blue, Midday Jazz, and in the studio with me right now is the man who will be paying tribute to Miles Davis. And we want to welcome one of Atlanta's very own, Scotty Barnhart, to WCLK. I wanted to say to home, to glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Yes, indeed. You are a, your life and the music and where you've come from right here and your start right here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And there's an incredible story behind it all. Mm-hmm. And you will be performing tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. at the Velvet Note in Alpharetta.
Yes.
You currently are the band leader for the Count Basie Orchestra.
Yes.
But you hail from Atlanta.
Yeah, right here from Atlanta. Yes, exactly.
Now, I have discovered that you started out your musical career right at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I grew up. My whole family's, that's where my family's from, and they're still there. And I think I played probably my first trumpet solo in public, at least. It was there. Yeah, I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You were let's see, Christian by, was it by Dr. King,
yeah,
actually?
Yeah, Dr. King Jr., yes.
And baptized by his father.
Yeah, Daddy King, yes.
Uh-huh. Daddy King. And what was it like being in the church during that time?
Well, one thing I definitely can say, it was always a great feeling. I couldn't really describe it as a kid growing up, but I knew there was something special about being there. I knew I just could feel that. And, of course, knowing him, I knew him. He died, I think, when I was 18 or 19, so I knew him, you know. And we even have home movies with him at our house, which still is a trip today to think about that. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was great growing up in that church under him. And then eventually after him, Dr. Roberts, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But that church has just been an incredible inspiration to me as, you know, as a human being, as a musician.
Yeah.
There was always great music going on there with the 3 or 4 different choirs that we had. Daddy King would have classical musicians coming and give concerts. And so it was a wonderful place, you know. And the funny thing about that is that when I first heard the Count Basie Orchestra, mm-hmm. my first thing in my mind was, oh, that's the same thing that the M.L. King Choir is doing. Because they had the Hammond B3 organ, you know, walking the bass lines and all that. So I could identify with Basie very easily.
Yeah. Now, at 12 years old, your parents took you to see Count Basie.
Yeah. Druid Hills High School. I'll never forget that. Druid Hills High School. And I remember when I walked into the gymnasium that night, Dr. Edward Bowie, he was the assistant principal at my school at the time, Gordon High School, saw me and said, young man, what are you doing in here? You must have some class. Mm. I said, oh, yeah, I guess so, you know. So I sat on the front row. My life has not been the same.
You are a 2-time Grammy Award winner.
Yes.
First in, was it 1999?
It was 97, I think. Yeah, 1997. The second was the year after that, 98, with the Basie Orchestra. Yes.
You lecture all around the world. Mm-hmm. You lead your own quintet, mm-hmm. along with the Count Basie Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You are the musical director currently for Florida, what is it?
Well, I'm a professor at Florida State University, yeah.
Okay.
Professor of jazz trumpet and jazz studies there.
And you are also working with the Florida Jazz Festival as well?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're starting an inaugural jazz and blues festival that starts next month, September mm-hmm. 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's the very first time that Tallahassee, or really Florida, has had a jazz festival that really has jazz bands and blues bands together.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Count Basie Orchestra, we have Freddie Cole, we have Marcus Roberts, we have the Rebirth Brass Band, we have Mac Arnold, we have Shamika Copeland. It's unbelievable. So they came to me maybe about a year ago and asked me to be the artistic director, and my job was simply to identify and secure the talent, which is what I did. I got on the phone, and I personally called everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just can't wait for it to begin. Tickets are on sale now at fljazzandblues.com, and you don't want to miss it. 3 days. You don't want
to
miss it.
Okay. We need to see about getting to Florida for this festival. Mm-hmm. It's quite a lineup. Yes. Now, again, to remind our listeners who are just tuning in, I'm talking with Scotty Barnhart. Well, if you grew up with him, you might know him as William Terrell Barnhart. I need to get that in. And he is performing this weekend, Friday and Saturday, Velvet Note. And let's see, you went to Gordon High School in Decatur, which is now McNair Junior High School.
That's right.
You also played in the Atlanta Falcons band.
Yes, I did.
And another point I want to make is that you received a music scholarship from Dr. King in honor of his mom, named after him, the Alberta Williams King Scholarship.
Right.
And also a music scholarship from the Count Basie?
Count Basie Estate, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I mean, I'm very fortunate. And, you know, Count Basie's our former, his son, his adoptive son, Aaron Woodward, who used to run the orchestra. You know, when I got the call to join Basie, I still had a semester to go left in school to finish because I had been touring with Marcus Roberts and people like that and always knew I would get it done. But when Basie called, I couldn't say no, of course, you know, so... After 3 or 4 years, I realized I had a little bit of a window of time where I could actually go back and finish the degree. I only had 2 classes left to go.
Yeah.
And he found out about it, and he said, well, let me pay for it. Let the Basie Estate pay for it. I said, okay, no argument for me there. So he took care of that. And so that's why now I'm very active in trying to get scholarship money back to students at FAMU, which is what I'm doing next month as a part of this festival. I'm giving away about $10,000 worth of scholarships through a friend of mine, Sam Beeler, who runs the Unity Music Foundation. We're going to give $4,000 scholarships each at FAMU, 3 at FSU, and 3 probably to local high school students who are going to major in music but stay in Tallahassee at either Florida State, FAMU, or TCC. So I'm very, very, very committed to trying to get money back to the young students that need it, you know. So, because I've been very fortunate to have some assistance myself.
You sure have. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you ever in your life ever think that this is where you would be right now in your career musically?
You know, the thing with me was, and it's still the same, I was always, first and foremost, I'm just trying to be a great musician. To me, that's really it. So I'm always trying to be the best trumpet player I could be, the best overall musician I can be, learn everything I can about the music and all those other things, the getting the gigs and the winning a Grammy and all these kind of, you can't really control those things, but you can control your level of musicianship. So that's my only real serious focus on a daily basis. All those other things that they happen, they're great, and I really appreciate them. So I think if you just are prepared, usually things kind of happen that way.
You will be playing the music of Miles Davis between the years of 1958 and 1968. What is the significance of that period of time?
Well, that period of time, Miles had, he's known as having 2 great quintets. And the first great quintet was Red Garland on piano, of course, Miles on trumpet, Cannonball Adderley, John Coltrane. Well, after the sextet, you know. And then, and those bands kind of changed with Bill Evans. And then eventually, with his second great quintet with Herbie Hancock on piano, Ron Carter on bass, Tony Williams on drums. Oh, and I can't forget the great Jimmy Cobb on drums, who's still with us.
Yes.
Who's in the first quintet.
Yes.
And
Wayne Shorter?
And Wayne Shorter, of course, you know, who's still with us also. And so that those periods when he did Kind of Blue, when he did Milestones and ESP and Nefertiti and My Funny Valentine, the live concert, those, that period for Miles set the standard for what most jazz quintets ended up doing after that. And even though Miles went into a sort of a different direction in the beginning with Richard's Brew around 1969, that basic format that he had set up and perfected, that still is the format we really use today when it comes to an acoustic jazz quintet, that is. So I just thought it would be great to explore his music, especially in light of the movie Miles Ahead coming out with Don Cheadle and produced by Miles' nephew, Vince Wilburn, who's a good friend of mine. And I just thought, you know, to go back to the Velvet Note and play instead of just putting a bunch of tunes together, have something very specific and deal with somebody who was who's still a force in jazz today. He's still a force in jazz today.
Yeah. When I met Jimmy Cobb, mm-hmm. I had to meet him because he had a relationship with Dinah Washington.
Yes.
So I needed to connect the dots.
Yeah.
So Russell Gunn brought in, he played with him. And it took him back also to like the Black Hawk years, because that's where he was coming from.
Right.
And when I met Jimmy Cobb, I was like, I just got to hug and touch this man.
I have to
be there. I was right there underneath of him. Had to be there.
He was unbelievable. He's still unbelievable.
He sure is. As he approaches a beautiful ripe age of close to 90 or somewhere
about right,
there.
Like that,
And there is so much to your career. I understand that Wynton Marsalis gave you a trumpet.
Oh, yeah. I've known Wynton since 1982, and I've been really close friends ever since then. But I think in 1989, when I was about to go on the road with Marcus Roberts, we were on the phone one day, and somehow the trumpet came up, the one that I was playing, which is a conventional one that was one of the most popular models at that time, but it was out of tune. And so he just happened to mention, he said, "Hey, man, I hear you having trouble with one of your horns or something." I said, "Yeah, man, this thing is out of tune." Because when you play next to a saxophonist and you're doing really close-knit harmonies, your instrument has to be perfectly in tune without you having to make it in tune. It just needs to be there.
Yeah.
So I said, "Yeah, man, this thing is a trip, man. It's giving me trouble, blah, 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 blah." Next day, FedEx on my front step was one of his custom-made trumpets.
Wow.
And I said, "Okay, all right." So, but now, then I understood what a custom-made trumpet could do for you. So this instrument is made by a guy named David Monette. So now I'm on my fourth one of his. He makes them for me, too. So that's what that was about.
There is another recording that you played on with Adelphio Marsalis.
Yeah.
And years ago... Well, I met Wynton around the same time that you, you know, back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And but there was a recording by his brother, Delphio Marsalis, Pontius Pilate's Decision.
That's right.
And
that's
it took me a while to figure out what that recording was all about.
About the Bible. That was Delphio's very first recording as a leader on the Novus label back at that time in 1991 when we recorded it. But it's called Pontius Pilate's Decision, and I hadn't thought about that in years. And every single composition on there has to do with a story in the Bible.
Yeah.
One tune is called Nicodemus, the guy who carried the cross.
Yeah.
One is called, obviously, Pontius Pilate's Decision, who had to decide whether or not to, you know, put Jesus on trial and that kind of thing. And Mary Magdalene. I mean, it's just an unbelievable way to fuse jazz with one of the greatest, you know, stories ever told or ever periods in our history ever, you know, created by man, I guess you could say. So
when Delphio asked you to work on that project, what did you think about it?
Oh, I was just thrilled because we had known each other, you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. And he always appreciated how I sounded on the trumpet, which is why he said he wanted me that. When it was really funny, he called me up and he said, "Look, man, I got good news and I got bad news."
The good news.
He said, "The good news is I'm getting ready to do a recording in New York, and the bad news is I got to get you to do it." I said, "All right."
Yeah.
So anyway, I flew up to New York, and Wynton is on it. The late great Kenny Kirkland, Marcus Roberts, of course, Branford Marsalis, and everybody, and Milt Hinton, the great bassist.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a pleasure to be a part of. I almost forgot about that. That was 1991 when we did that.
Yeah. Well, you have been leading the Count Basie Orchestra for how long now?
3 years now. Yeah.
Three years. Yeah. But you've been associated with the Basie Orchestra for
23 years. 20 years in the trumpet section as trumpet soloist and they appointed me director in September 2013.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Barnhart in the studio this weekend at the Velvet Note, Friday and Saturday, shows at 7:30 and 9:30. And you have some fine musicians right here from the ATL
who
know, everyone lives somewhere.
Absolutely.
But they're going to get it done. Working with you is...
My longtime collaborator on piano, one of the greatest to ever play that instrument, seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's Kevin Bales.
Yes.
He and I go back to 1980 together.
Mm-hmm.
And then bassist Kevin Smith, who is one of our former students at Florida State, who now lives here in Atlanta. He's one of the very best. And one of our recent graduates from Florida State with his master's in jazz performance, Mr. Robert Boone on drums.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, the great Mace Hibbert, who lives here, on tenor saxophone. He'll be there on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And on Friday night, I have a young man I actually haven't met, but we've only talked on the phone, John Sanford, and I hear he's a monster on the tennis act.
Okay, so John Sanford.
John Sanford on Friday, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we haven't even begun to get into the history of you, Scotty Barnhart, during our brief conversation, but the music will speak for itself this weekend at the Velvet Note Indeed, my pleasure to have you here at WCLK. Thank you so much.
Thank you very
and
much.
I'll be up so close to you on Friday night that you'll feel the vibes.
All right.
You'll That's see great. Me. I'll be right there. And That's it's okay great. To scream and holler.
Yes, it is.
Yes, indeed. So you'll be swinging some music there.
Oh, yes.
A tribute to Miles Davis, the music of Miles Davis between 1958 and 1968. Again, thank you, Scotty Barnhart, for coming here to WCLK. Please come back.
I would love to.
Yeah, we have more to talk about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.